ॐ पार्थाय प्रतिबोधिताम् भगवता नारायणेन स्वयं व्यासेन कृतिताम् पुराणमुनिना मध्ये महाभारतम् अद्वैतामृतवर्षिणीम् भगवतीम् अष्टादशाध्यायिनीम् अम्बत्वामनुसन्धधामि भगवद्गीते भगवद्वैषिणी. Chapter 4, verse 32. Evam bahuvidha yajñāha Evam bahuvidha yajñāha Pitata brahmano mukhe Pitata brahmano mukhe Karmajan viditan sarvan Karmajan viditan sarvan Evam yatva vimokshase Evam yatva vimokshase Evam bahuvidha yajna evam bahuvidaha yajnaha vitataha brahmanaha mukhe karmajan viditan sarvan evam jnatva vimokshase. Says, in this manner, referring back to the previous verses where they've just gone through four or five different verses telling all of the different types of yajna, after starting with the brahmarpanam, brahmahabhihi, then they told so many, the Bhagavan told so many different types of yajna. And so now he says, in this manner, he says, bahuvidha yajnaha. There are many different types, bahu prakaraha in the Bhasha. There are many different types of yajnas, of rituals. We'll talk about yajnas again in a minute. Which are vitakaha, which are elaborated. Brahmanaha mukhe. He says, literally, in the mouth of Brahman. What it is Brahman means the Vedas, the word that's used for the Vedas. In the mouth of the Vedas, because the Vedas are revealed, right? So the Vedas come out, the Vedas are revealed knowledge, so they're spoken also. And there's Shruti. Shruti is that which is heard. So you hear from the mouth. Okay? So the Vedas are speaking. So from the mouth of the Vedas, right? All of these yajnas have been greatly elaborated, and there's many and varied different types of yajnas. And yajnas all have to do with various types of tapas or discipline or prayer or acts, rituals that are done to please the Lord in order to gain the grace of Bhagavan. It's called Ishvara Anugraha. Anugraha means grace. So the Lord's grace. So these different types of tapas, different types of rituals, control of your food, control of your breath, doing rituals in the sense of giving, doing dhanam, giving charity. There's so many that he talks about, the pranayama. But all of these rituals, all of these austerities and disciplines are done with a religious attitude. Means to please the Lord. Please the Lord means to gain, you know, the drishti. There's some verses that'll say, you know, just to gain the Lord, just in the corner of his eye, you know, just to gain, to be noticed, you know, to gain the drishti, you know, the sight of the Lord, to please the Lord, means to gain that grace of the Lord. So the samsari, these yajnas are really done for punya. So I can gain the grace of the Lord, so that I can gain some punya in order to achieve whatever it is that I'm wanting to achieve. And it can be anything from swarga loka, from going to heaven, heaven world to having a happy marriage or to having children or to getting my children into college or to have my family free from illness, on and on and on. Whatever I may be asking from the Lord, I can do all of these rituals to gain the grace of the Lord. But as a mumukshu, these rituals and these different austerities that I may be doing are to gain the grace of the Lord for antakarana shuddhi. But whether I'm doing it as a samsari, or in order to get something from the creation, or that I'm doing it as a jnani, you know, or somebody who has knowledge just in order to gain nishta in that knowledge, which was some of the first verses, or I'm doing it as a karma yogi, right? I'm doing it, offering everything to Ishwara that I do, so to get that karma yogi, that buddhi, that prasada buddhi. All of these rituals are elaborately told, many different ones are elaborately told in the Vedas. Now it says, Karmajan Vidditan Sarvan. May you understand Viddhi, imperative. May you know. May you understand Sarvan Karman Tan. That all of those karmas, Sarva means all, karma, all of those rituals, all of those yajnas, Tan, all of them, right? Karma, may you know that all of them are karma. Karmajan Vidditan Sarvan. May you know that all of those yajnas, all of those rituals are karmajan. Karmajan means they're all born of karma. Right? All of them. They're all born of karma. And what does he say? Evam nyatwa, having known them as such, that all of these rituals are born of karma, vimoksha say, you will be liberated. Yeah. So it can be a confusing verse. Knowing all of them is karma. Knowing all of these rituals are karma. Karmaja, that ja means born of. So karmaja, born of karma. Right? Know that all of these are born of karma. All of the rituals, okay? Now, when karma is involved, when a karma, an action is involved, the action involves a karta, the doer of the action. It involves the object of the action. It involves the verb, right? It involves the instrument of the action. So if the yajnas themselves are born of karma, then we have the duality of karta, the doer, dikarma, the object of doing, dikarana, the instrument of doing, the location where the thing is done. All of these, what we call karakas, all of these things that relate to the verb, come into being, including knower known, doer and object, right? With our karta and karma. If all of these are coming into being now, are involved in doing a karma, then the entirety of the karma exists within duality. The whole yajna itself is born of karma. Right? Now the question is, are you born of karma? Are you the Atma that is being revealed in the Upanishads, being revealed by Bhagavan here in the Bhagavad Gita? Is the Atma a product of karma? Can the self, can yourself be transformed through karma? Can you, the Atma, become a papi, somebody who does sin? Can you become somebody who does good, who is a dharmi? Can you be a dharmi or an adharmi? Can you be somebody who enjoys swargaloka or naraka? Naraka means hell. Are you somebody that can be improved by karma, or who can be lessened by karma? So now, Bhagavan has spent all of this time talking about karma, praising karma also, praising karma, Because from the standpoint of the jiva, karma which is done in the spirit of yajna, which means karmas which are done for Ishwara Anugraha, for the grace of the Lord, karma that is done with the karma yoga buddhi, right? Karmas that are done in order to bring the upadhi into check, right? For Ishwara Anugraha, for the grace of the Lord. All those karmas are conducive on two levels. They're conducive to the samsari for gaining as much ananda in this world of relative sukha and dukkha, this world which is relative and is bound by change. So the samsari, by following dharma and doing karmas, keeping the with keeping Ishwara in view, right? That person becomes a whole human being and is able to enjoy as much happiness as a samsari can enjoy in a world that is constantly bound by change. So that samsari becomes a dharmi, and somebody who is held by the dharma. So that's a positive thing. And to be extolled also within the world of samsara. And for the mumukshu, the one who practices yajna, or whose attitude toward the world is one of yajna, where everything I do really is for the pleasure of the Lord, for Ishwara Anugraha, for the grace of the Lord. Everything I do is for that purpose, so that I can gain antakarana shuddhi. That also is completely conducive to my knowledge, to my gaining nishta, to my gaining jnana nishta. And so yajna, my actions in the world with that spirit of yajna, is something that is very positive. But is that where I'm left? Because if that's where I'm left, then I'm left within duality. I become the karaka, and the karma, and the yajna is the karma. So I become a limited being within the creation. And that is not what the vision of the Upanishads have to give. So if you remember when we started with this, before this section, these yajnas, the first one he said, before he went off into all of these different yajnas, was Brahmarpanam Brahmahavihi, Brahmadnya Brahmanahitam, Brahmaivatena Gantevyam, Brahmakarma Samadhinam. In a ritual, okay, the Brahman is the ladle, the instrument for making the offering. Brahman is the offering itself. Brahman is the fire into which the offering is made, and the offering itself, which is Brahman, is made by Brahman alone. And Brahman itself is the karma phala, right? Is the fruit of that offering. The one who knows this, Brahma Karma Samadhina, right? By the one who knows that the whole karma itself is Brahman. It's by that one, Brahman itself is reached, right? Because there's nothing but Brahman. So that's the vision. That's Advaita. That there's no, the subject and the object are Brahman. The subject is the self, the object is the self, the instruments of action are the self, the place is the self. There is nothing that is not the self. That is the vision. Then he goes from there. That's Advaita. Then he goes from there and talks about the jnani. The jnani is the one who offers the ahankara into Brahman. That's his yajna. The karma yogi is the one who has a prasada buddhi, offers all, because kartritvam is still there, doership is still there. So the karma yogi offers everything that he or she does to the Lord for that prasada buddhi. That's the karma yogi. Then there are others who are committed to pranayama, and they offer the prana into the prana. And all of these verses that we did, others are controlling their food. Others are doing yajna, means giving dhanam, or giving wealth, and that type of thing. There's so many different ones, but all of them have one thing in common in this yajna, is that they're all doing these rituals, or doing these austerities, for the sake of the Lord, for the pleasure of the Lord, in order to gain Ishwara Anugraha. All of these are to be extolled. All of them are taking place within samsara. All of them are extolled within samsara, but all are taking place within samsara. Ones are meant to resolve. The karma yogi is trying to resolve to break out of the samsara. But the samsaris are trying to live a dharmic life, keeping dharma and Ishwara in view, so that they also can be blessed within this creation. Okay? But they're all limited. They're all of these yajnas, true, they can give antakarana shuddhi, or give punya, dharma, punya, antakarana shuddhi, purity of mind. But all are living and working and helping within duality. And so, compared to these yajnas, there's another yajna which is exalted. So.
Which one is that?
Before we get there, so he says, just to tie this up. If you know, therefore, that all of these are born of karma, and remember, I want to make a point here, I said it, but I just want to, when you say something is born of karma, of action, all of the katakas come in. The verb comes in, the subject comes in, the karta, the object comes in, the instrument, the place. Karma means duality is there. The instant you say karma, you know, action, all duality is there. So you have subject, object, knower, known, doer, done. Then you've got dharma, adharma. You've got punya, papa. You're all totally bound within the world of change. And so he says, he starts now by saying, once you know all of this, all of it, all of these are born of karma, then you will be free. Okay? And so now, but how will you be free? Okay? Knowing this, because it's not, so you know they're all born of karma, you still have to know yourself. Okay, so let's look at this. Shreyan dravyamayat yajnyat. Shreyan dravyamayat yajnyat. Jnani yajnyat parantapa. Jnana yajna parantapa sarvam karmakilam paritta sarvam karmakilam paritta jnane parisamapyate jnane parisamapyate. He says shreyan, let me do that, Sunday, shreyan dravyamayat yajnyat jnana yajnaha parantapa sarvam karma akilam partha jnane parisamapyate. Shreyas means that which is better, but it's also, we use it in the Katha Upanishad, you know, the difference between shreyas and preyas. Shreyas is moksha. That which, there is nothing equivalent to moksha. You know? Prayas is everything else. Prayas gives pleasure. Prayas gives, can give what is good, what is pleasurable. You know? I can work this world in such a way that I can gain prayas, what is pleasurable. And if I have a spirit of yajna in the way that I relate to the world following dharma, then I can get the most possible prayas from the world. But I can never get shreyas from the world. I can never get the shreyas because that is what is absolutely good. Okay? Absolutely good. The only thing that has absolute goodness, because it's not subject to becoming bad, it's not subject to pain, is the Atma, is moksha. Moksha is shreyas. Because moksha is free from the sukha dukkha. So it's the absolute good. So when they use shreyas here, even though it's a comparative, good, better, best, here there's no comparison between knowledge and karma. So we have to make that clear. So here, and why that is. So he says, shreyan, better, dravyamayat yajnyat, from yajnas, which involve materials, which involve things. Yajnas involve things. I'm the doer and this is, and I'm doing this. So there's activity involved, there's karma involved, so there's dravya, there's materials involved. So from yajnas, which involve things, materials, jnana yajnaha shreyan. Jnana yajnaha, the yajna which is knowledge, which is jnana, is shreyas. Shreyas means there's no comparison, right? There's no comparison because, well, let me do the whole verse and say, sarvam karma akilam. Sarvam karma, all karma, because all, sarvam means all, karma, all karma, akilam, without any left over, without any remember, anything remaining. So all karma in total, without any exception. Sarva karma akilam, he parta, jnane parisamapyate. All karma will resolve itself, parisamapyate, will resolve itself in knowledge alone. Jnane parisamapyate. All of the karma will completely resolve itself into knowledge. So, from all of the yajna, all of the yajnas that are there, that exist within duality, from all of those, jnana yajna is superior. Jnana yajna, the jnana yajna is shreyas. Because the jnana yajna gives moksha. All of these karmas that we're talking about, all of them resolve into jnana. And so there's two different ways to look at this. Shankara says something nice here. I'll tell you that first. He goes, dravya mayaha hi yajnaha palakasya arambakaha. Jnana yajnaha na pala arambakaha. Ataha shreyan prashasyatara. He says this, all the yajnas that involve dravyas, objects, all of those initiate karma. They initiate action. Right? They all will give rise to a result. So karma pala is going to be involved. So he says, palasya arambakaha. They all are going to initiate or produce a pala, a karma pala. Right? Whereas jnana, the jnana yajna, he says, na pala arambakaha. The jnana yajna doesn't produce anything. There's no pala that's being produced. There's no dvaita here. The jnana yajna is giving you knowledge of what is. And so you're not going to be, again, taken into duality. If a karma, this is the problem. A karma produces a result. This is very simple. A karma which exists in time produces a result, which is also bound by time. In other words, a time-bound karma, a time-bound ritual, a time-bound action can't produce a limitless result. Rather, it produces a time-bound result. And that's our experience in the world. Every action that we do, every achievement, everything that we strive for, yes, produces a result. And if we do everything properly, and the gods are with us, you know, the stars are with us, then we get the result that we had been working for. But that result that we get, without exception, is time-bound. Even antikarna shuddhi, when the antikarna shuddhi, right, has to do not with jnana, but has to do with a discipline, a resolve, then the result of that resolve will hold as long as resolve is there. Right? The result is dependent upon the resolve or the discipline. See what I mean? Like, for instance, just on a physical level, say I do yoga. Say I do yoga. Say I have a yoga practice. And I do that practice for an hour every day. As long as I do the practice of yoga for an hour every day, I will reap the results of that practice, which are significant. It makes me feel so much better. If I control my eating, as long as I control my eating, I will manage my weight. As long as I control, these are all yajnas, as long as I control the eating, I will manage the weight. If I stop controlling the eating, I will no longer manage the weight. So all of these yajnas produce results, but the yajnas, all of these karmas, but the yajnas produce results, and then with proper attitude, they produce results, but the results are as time-bound as is the yajna. Even pranayama, which also enlivens my system and brings a lot of shanti to the mind, that shanti, which is being produced by the pranayama, will be there as long as I'm doing the pranayama. Even in terms of dharma, as long as I am kind to you, I will reap the results of that kindness. Because the act of kindness, that is a particular action, like it's a type of giving, the act of that kindness will reward me with a certain type of shanti, which is very pleasing to the mind. And so say, if I practice, I am practicing kindness in order to gain the shanti and the grace of the Lord. I practice kindness. And I will gain that shanti and that grace as long as I practice the kindness. But the act produces the result. See what I mean? That act produces the result. And so I have to go on doing that act in order to continue producing the result. And so any yajna that I undertake in the world of dravya that has to do with the karta karma, with doership and action, all of those actions are time-bound and the results are also time-bound. See that? Because the karta is involved, the antakarana, the mind is involved, the sense organs are involved, the body is involved, the world is involved. And so now I'm going to be bound by time there. The karma itself is time bound. The result is time bound. Even though the result is positive. Especially done in the spirit of the yajna. The result is positive. Positive or time bound. The only yajna that does not produce a result like this, time bound result, is jnanam. Because here, in terms of atma-jnanam, the atma is not a karta, it's not a karma, it's not a doer, it's not a karma, it's not an object, it's not something that can be objectified, it's not something which is subject to change or modification, it's not something which comes and goes, nor has it ever come and gone. The only problem that one person has in attaining or gaining the fruit of knowledge, the only problem with gaining that fruit is the ignorance that's blocking me from recognizing the already existent reality of it. So the jnana yajna is something that takes me to that which is itself, that fruit, that pala, which is an already existent pala. That's why we say atma jnanam, self-knowledge, is prapasya praptihi. Well, you can see it just in the words. Knowledge of the self, is yourself there or not? See, I need to gain self-knowledge. I want self-knowledge. If you really think about the words you're using, if I want to gain knowledge, let me put it in simple, more simpler language, I would like to know myself. I would like to gain knowledge of myself. Then if I were to ask you, are you talking about yourself, the self that is already there, or some other self? You say, no, I want to know myself. Then is this self that you want to know here, or is it not here? Yeah, it must be here. Now you want to know this self. What that means is that this self that you want to know at this moment, you don't know. And so what has to happen there? the knowledge, the ignorance that is blocking my knowledge of the self has to be removed. If the self ignorance is removed, then I will know myself. Is the self that I know, now the thing is, what is the nature of the self that I know in self-knowledge? When I gain self-knowledge, what is the nature of that? That self, the Atma, is free from time, is free from change, is free from modification. And so the recognition of that self is not the recognition of a pola, a result of a karma that is time-bound. And so the removal of the ignorance that has caused me to, the mind to mistake myself, right? That's another thing. Is the removal of the ignorance time-bound? Is removal of ignorance time-bound? Now, this is, ignorance is a peculiar quality. And that is, ignorance itself is beginningless. Right? Ignorance is beginningless. Like, for instance, just to use the example of somebody who you've never ever seen before, they walk into the room. I say, when did your ignorance of that person begin? There never was a prior condition. And that person, I've never seen that person before. So that ignorance of that person had no beginning. See what I mean? You could say, well, maybe it began when the person came into being. Okay? When the person came into being, it began. But actually, from your standpoint, there is no beginning to the ignorance because there's no prior condition. See what I mean? And in reference to the Atma, so we'll take it now, in reference to the self, say, when did the self, which is limitless, which is beginningless, when did your self-ignorance begin? When did it begin? You can't use that excuse, well, it began when the self began. Because the self never began. The self is free from time. So you could say, my ignorance of the self began, you could say, when I realized I was ignorant of the self. No. That's when your knowledge of your ignorance began. Right? That's not when the ignorance began. That's when your knowledge of the ignorance began. So now going back to the, somebody comes in the room, you've never seen them before, let's say, when did your ignorance begin? No, that had no beginning because there was not a prior condition. But my knowledge of my ignorance, my knowledge that I'd never known that person, that had a beginning. That had a beginning. Similar here, you can say, the ignorance of myself never began, but then I could awake to the fact that, gee, I don't know myself. Now I have knowledge of my ignorance. Okay, so that's the peculiarity of ignorance. It has no beginning. But ignorance comes to an end. Like, for instance, somebody comes into the room, no prior condition because you'd never known them before. Now you know them. They're just their form, let's say. Through your eyes, you are now aware of the existence of this person. This person exists. They're standing in front of you. You don't know anything about them or anything, but you know that they now exist. This particular person now exists. Now, that ignorance has come to an end. Because now, ignorance in terms of recognition of the existence of that person. Because you're having the experience, right? So what was beginningless now comes to an end. Now look at in terms of knowing myself. There's never been a time that myself was not there. The self, the Atma, which is Brahman, the limitless being that I am. I've never not been that. But I've also never known it. The one who doesn't know it, from the standpoint of the, so I don't confuse you, from the standpoint of your being, of consciousness, there is no knowledge or ignorance. In terms, there is no relative knowledge or ignorance. There is just consciousness. I said there's just pure knowledge. That pure knowledge, that pure being, which is consciousness, that me, it doesn't become less, it doesn't become more. It never changes. I just am. My being is and it is always the same. We don't even say it's beginningless. We say it's timeless. Because when you say beginningless, you think of going back in time or you can think of change. You don't say beginningless. You say timeless. This me that I am is the me that I've always been. It is free from time. And it's free from time, it's free from space. In fact, it's the very being of this creation. Has this mind ever known that? This mind, this body, mind, sense organs, this jiva, from beginningless time, because this jiva belongs as part and parcel of the creation, and it exists within duality, has there ever been a time when this jiva has recognized, I am Brahman? If it had, it wouldn't be saying I'm a jiva. If it had known, right, if it had known I am Brahman, then its self-definition would be I am Brahman. Not that I am a limited jiva, this body, mind, sense organs, existing as an entity within this world, who is suffering from sukha dukkha, sukha dukkha, sukha dukkha, you know, wondering who I am and where is there. Is there any wholeness? Is there any fullness to be attained by me? Can I break out of this samsara? That's the plight of the jiva. Does that jiva have a prior condition? Did the jiva have prior knowledge, knowing that I am Brahman? Say no. If it knew I was Brahman, and that Brahman that I am is changeless, and never away from me, being me, and never away from the mind, if the mind knows I am Brahman, then it can't go back to saying I am a jiva. Not possible. Right? And so this ignorance has no prior condition, and at the same time, it comes to an end. When does it come to an end? When the ignorance is removed. How is ignorance removed? Ignorance is removed by self-knowledge. Is self-knowledge direct or indirect? It has to be direct. Direct means immediate, because we're talking about me. When that knowledge is gone, how can I get it back? When the ignorance is gone, how can I get the ignorance back? Use the example of rope snake. You can mistake a rope for a snake. Everybody can relate to it. Oh yeah, I can mistake a rope for a snake. But I can mistake the rope for a snake when I haven't seen the rope. I've experienced the shape, but I haven't seen the rope. Shape, but not what the shape is. Then I can project on that shape a snake. But when I see the shape to be what it actually is, a rope, then I can't project the snake on it, because I see the rope. You can remember way back. You can remember that at one time you had mistaken the rope for a snake. You can teach about it. You can talk about it. But you can't get it back. It's the same here. Once I know myself, I can't unknow myself. I can't get it back. I can teach it and talk about it. But it's hard even to remember what that is like. To have that experience, let me put it that way, not remember what it was like. To have that experience again. You can't, once the ignorance is removed, you can't get the experience back again. You can talk about it. You can remember it in kind of an indirect way. But you can't get the vritti back again. You can't get the ajnanam back again. And so now, think like this. Jnanam. When they say, the jnanam, the jnana yajna is shreyas. You know, that is superior. Means it's in a different class. It's a different order of reality. In this sense, the knowledge of the jnana yajna is knowledge is paramartika satyam. The jnana, the knowledge that you gain of the atma, that atma is paramartika satyam. It means absolute reality. It's not something that can come and go. And so it's not a karma pala. The jnana is not a karma pala. It's the removal of ignorance which makes you recognize something that is beginningless, is timeless. It makes you recognize yourself, which is timeless. See what I'm saying? And it is that, you know, that Atma which is free from karma, which is free from becoming, which is free from karma pala. It has to be free from karma pala because it's the fruit of the action. If it's not free from karma pala, then it is time bound. Right? If it's a result, if the Atma is a result of karma, then all results of karma are time bound. They have to be maintained. Right? Anything that's a result of karma, you have to maintain it. Just like if your antikarana shuddhi is a result of karma, say you have a practice, you're practicing something, it's a result of karma, then you have to keep practicing it and you will gain that result. Right? Atma is not a practice. It's not a result of karma. There's no result to be gained. There's no result to be lost. Karma takes place in time. Result takes place in time. Atma doesn't take place in time. Atma is free from time. And so the jnana of the Atma, right,